presented by the U.S. Travel Association.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Friday, June 21st, and here's what's driving the day. Donald Trump has erased Joe Biden's cash advantage. New FEC filings yesterday revealed that after an enormous wave of donations triggered by his conviction in New York, Trump and the RNC raised $141 million in May, while Biden and the DNC raised $81 million. Earlier in the year, you'll remember that the Biden campaign had touted its superior fundraising as one of the big reasons that Biden allegedly had a stronger campaign. But the Trump campaign began June with $25 million more cash on hand than the Biden campaign. That's a big change this spring, almost all due to the conviction in New York, it seems. Next up, don't miss this week's episode of Playbook Deep Dive. With the first presidential debate less than 1 week away, and with both Biden and Trump's campaigns cramming to prepare for it, I sat down with Joe Biden's personal attorney and the go-to lawyer for Democrats over the last few decades, Bob Bauer. Bauer has a new book out, The Unraveling: Reflections on Politics Without Ethics and Democracy in Crisis, which is an account of his accumulated wisdom in five decades of work at the highest levels of American politics and government. He and I met downtown in Washington on Thursday afternoon, and we discussed what it's like to prepare Biden for a Trump debate, whether or not Democratic prosecutors have overdone it on pursuing legal action against Trump, and we also discussed his role in the Her investigation. That show is out this morning. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Finally, in Florida, 3 days of hearings in the Trump documents case are starting today in the courtroom of Judge Eileen Cannon. Here to talk to me about what we can expect from these hearings is senior legal affairs reporter Kyle Chaney. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Ryan.
Okay, so we've got 3 days of hearings down in Florida on the documents case. Just a quick update about where we are in this case. And what's the substance of these 3 days of hearings?
So, you know, in a parallel universe, this trial started a month ago. It was supposed to start on May 20th, and Judge Cannon postponed it indefinitely. So we're really in this total gray area of what is happening with this trial. In my view, the most interesting part of these 3 days of hearings, while there is a substantive purpose to them, is going to be what Judge Cannon says and indicates about her thinking about this case overall. Is she even contemplating when a jury might be impaneled, when this could go to trial, or is that so far off it's not even on her radar? The substance of the hearings, though, ostensibly are about one of Donald Trump's many efforts to dismiss this case entirely. He's made a motion to dismiss, claiming that Special Counsel Smith should never have been appointed in the first place, that Merrick Garland didn't have the authority to appoint Smith, who's not a Justice Department, Senate-confirmed official, to this prominent, powerful position, and that he's being improperly funded as well. So Trump is one of his many efforts to dismiss the case. Judge Cannon has scheduled 2 full days of hearings on that issue alone, and then as well as some proceedings on additional issues that are related.
Wow. So she's taking these arguments quite seriously. Has this question been litigated previously?
It has, and you know, mostly in Washington, D.C., because usually special counsels have in recent past brought their charges in Washington. And actually, David Weiss, who charged Hunter Biden brought challenges to David Weiss's authority under sort of the same wavelength. So Hunter Biden and Trump have been sort of in alignment on that, claiming that DOJ overstepped its authority with special counsel appointments. But those have been sort of uniformly rejected by the courts, those arguments. You know, the attorney general has pretty wide latitude to set up an internal process that he sees fit to pursue criminal cases. This is about setting up an office that's independent, essentially, not entirely independent, but mostly independent from the structure of the Justice Department to handle sensitive, high-profile cases. And Trump says, well, if he's independent of the Justice Department, he doesn't answer to anyone, then he should be Senate-confirmed, and there are some principles behind that. But what DOJ says is, well, no, he's independent. He has latitude to do what he wants, but at the end of the day, the buck still stops with Merrick Garland on all of these things, so it's a process he's allowed to do.
So one of the dramas that has been playing out in filings, although not in open court recently, is the testy relationship between Cannon and Jack Smith. Give us a little bit of the recent backstory on that and what you'll be watching for as they are face to face.
Well, there's no question there's been a breakdown between Cannon and the special counsel's prosecutors. They clearly don't like each other. There's a lot of sniping back and forth. It just oozes off the page when Cannon writes about, you know, them, and when they, even these mild breaches of decorum, she will spend an enormous number of words sort of criticizing their behavior. Doesn't sort of treat Trump's indiscretions the same way in terms of procedural issues with filing. She sort of treats him more gently on those things. And she countenances a little bit more of it. But then in a bigger picture sense, they're just so wildly on different pages about the posture of this case, when it should move forward. You know, and so we watch a lot of this interplay between them to see, to get a sense of, I should step back, which is, she's actually ruled in favor of the special counsel quite often. She rejected one of Trump's motions to dismiss the case, citing defects in the indictment. And she's sided with him on other areas that are similar to that. And yet, even in those opinions, she will take shots over and over again at the special counsel, saying they were wrong about this, or they asked this the wrong way, or I disagree with them here and there. But by the way, I'm granting their motion, or I'm rejecting Trump's motion. She just can't seem to bring herself to criticize Trump, but she takes every opportunity to criticize the special counsel.
Okay, Kyle, so going forward, what are the sort of main possibilities coming out of these 3 days of hearings in terms of whether this case is back on track before the election, or anything else?
I would start from the premise that this case is not going to happen before the election. That's sort of my baseline thinking now, just given how much is left to resolve, even independent of these hearings. There were supposed to be another set of issues that came up in these 3 days, and she pushed them off so she could deal with this is Jack Smith validly appointed question, which is something we didn't think she'd spend much time on.
We're
at
really
all.
Going back to first so, questions here.
Right. So it's sort of remarkable that we're still dealing with this fundamental issue before we've even gotten to the question of what classified evidence can come in, how are they going to handle those very sensitive issues. Trump's motion to compel, which is legal jargon for his effort to show that there was essentially this conspiracy within the government to try to incriminate him for these classified, among multiple agencies, the National Archives and the Justice Department and the intelligence community, that they were all in league. He's got a whole other set of motions related to that haven't been resolved yet. There's just so much left. I would just assume that this case is not going to be moving forward this year. I think one thing that could come out of this is a much clearer understanding of where her head is on the timeline, on some of those key issues, whether she might grant one of Trump's motions to dismiss, including this one about whether Smith is properly appointed. That would be extraordinary, but it's possible. She's giving this much time to this issue, maybe because she is seriously considering granting the motion. That changes the whole equation.
Got it. All right, Kyle, thank you very much for breaking this down. We'll check in with you next week after these hearings have run their course. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime. Good to be with you.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are both meeting pro forma. Nothing on Joe Biden's schedule except his presidential daily brief. He headed to Camp David last night for debate camp, and his aides say he might be there all the way until Thursday, when he leaves for Atlanta. The music of today's show is composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Callan Tanzel Suddeth is our podcast producer. Annie Reese is managing producer. Mike DeBonis and Zach Stanton are our editors. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thanks for listening.
Presented by the U.S. Travel Association. Air travel innovations make getting there this summer more safe, secure, and seamless.